All right, the Audible is on the air. Kimbo Camber here, back from a little vacation. Kind of get back into the whole thing. Joining me from the Miami Herald, Armando Salguero, who's been covering this football team for a long time. Columnist now and keeping an eye on it. And Armando, we're kind of at the end of the offseason here. They got one more practice tomorrow as far as minicamp is concerned. And then it's back home, and we'll see in about 6 weeks or so and get ready for training camp. How do you feel about this team right now as they get ready to break this their offseason conditioning work and go out on their vacation compared to what you saw last year at this point?
Well, you know what's funny, Bo, is that I haven't heard any complaints from anyone about anything.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone earlier today, and I was asking him, what are you worried about? And there was a long pause.
Yeah.
What are we worried about? Yeah. What's going on? Where was the worries? And I would say to you, there's an obvious worry with Mike Pouncey's health.
Yep.
So that's
probably first and foremost.
That is the thing.
Yep.
Because he is the quarterback of the offensive line. And when he was playing last year, they were rolling. Yep. And it wasn't as good.
Yep.
Other than that, they're not having a whole lot of issues that they're wringing their hands about.
I would guess the biggest issue is, can we get this thing started sooner than later? I think that's – I really do think there's a feeling with this organization from top to bottom, and it permeates – I think it's permeated that locker room where guys are really anxious to see what this configuration of this football team is going to be like coming this fall. And look, you know, the thing about it is, Armando, I mean, you talk to people, I talk to people – and they all know, how's this team going to do? The schedule's real hard. You know, there's so many variables in a football season. Schedule, talk about schedule. Okay, you're going to play New England next week. Oh, Tom Brady goes down. He's out. Well, we saw last year, really didn't make much difference. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you lose a key player in a football team, all of a sudden it changes the dynamic of that team, and it changes the dynamic of the schedule, whoever's playing against them. So it's really a crapshoot to do all that stuff. But it's interesting just all the things that go along trying to figure out what this team – but again, going back to the fact, I just think that everybody here feels really good about the direction they're going and wants to get there, and let's see if we can take that next step from being a very, very bad football team for the first month of the season last year to a pretty darn good football team results-wise for the last three quarters of the season. And then getting the playoffs, and now seeing if they can take that next step forward and not have that, what I would call maybe a ragged season last year, but they did get to where they wanted to be.
Yeah, let's see if they can pick up to where's, the lessons learned last year, they don't have to learn the lessons again this year. Obviously, schematically speaking, they should be on their on their landmarks. They should know what they're doing. There shouldn't be any mysteries for them, except for maybe rookies.
Right.
But can they pick up that sort of feeling that I know that you saw it last year within the team? We're not going to lose.
Right.
We're going to do something late in the game if it's close that we're going to come out on top. And the other team is going to do something late in the game to where they're going to fold. And that's the kind of feeling that the New England Patriots have, that oftentimes games are lost by the other team rather than won. Yep. Oftentimes the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo will outplay you, but you'll hit an improbable 50-yard.
J.J. goes 51 yards or whatever it was.
Against 10 men on the field.
Right.
And losing teams do things that losing teams do.
Well,
winning teams do things that winning teams
Armando,
do.
Well, Armando, look, you and I have both been around this organization for a long time where whatever could go wrong did go wrong for this organization. And quite frankly, the first five games of the season was a lot of what could go wrong did go wrong, but they were able to rally and go. So I think certainly the confidence they've got, and confidence only goes so far. At some point, you got to go out and be better at blocking, tackling, catching the ball, running with the football, doing all the things that you need to do. And the attitude isn't going to get the job done. There's got to be that physical. But I think this football team is. And one of the things, Armando, that struck me midway through the offseason, when they came back to begin their offseason conditioning, where no coaches, just in the weight room, Dave Polowka, those guys running the whole thing, And we had Dave on the show, and Dave said, man, I tell you what, he says, you know, I had, you know how these guys are. They probably have the practice schedule for the first practice of training camp sitting there on their books right now. So he's the same way. And he said, you know, so these guys came in and they were all blowing it out of the water. So I needed to toughen my program because these guys came in a lot better shape than he expected from them. And to me, those kind of signs are little signs that lead you to believe that it's not just a feeling in this organization. There is some real progress as far as the quality of players and the players that you got and how much they feel the need to get better if they want to compete on this football team.
Well, competition breeds competition. Yeah. There's a higher level, I think, of professionalism
yes,
on this team.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you have Devontae Parker, who maybe the first year in the league was thinking, I could get by with, yep. you know, having a catch radius that's like yep. over there. And I can get by with, you know, not running hard in practice. Mm-hmm. And I can get by with getting 3 hours of sleep at night because I like to stay up watching TV. And yep. I could get by not, you know, hitting every single meal and yep. not eating well because I'm 21 years yep. old. He's not doing that anymore. Yep. He had gotten by doing all those things.
Well, you can do that in college. Yes.
Exactly. This ain't college anymore. Yeah. So now he's figured out that if he wants to be a great pro, he's got to be a great pro.
Well, because everybody else is, you know.
Exactly.
You know. It's. Look, let's throw out the Ohio States and the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Michigans and some of those schools. And you get some of those schools out of the way, and you start looking at the other schools. They may never play a guy during the course of their season that's good enough to play in the NFL, right? And so, you know, you can do this and you can round out your routes and you can do this or that and you can make plays. And I recall as coming in, you know, when I came in, it was, you know, in college I could take a wrong step and still recover and make a play. One thing I realized real quick here is as soon as you take that step, you may not even have to have your foot on the ground, but you're done. It's over. You've made a bad decision, and there's no way out of it right now.
Right.
And you know, and the you got that much time to do it in, and so you realize, well, this is this, and if I want to be good at this, I got to figure out a way to get as good as that guy I'm lined up against.
You know what's interesting is, so we can agree that Jarvis Landry is a very good NFL yep. player. We can agree on that. 280, you know, catches yep. in the first 3 years. Even a guy who's had success, who's been to the Pro Bowl like a Jarvis Landry, yeah. they want to raise his game, yep. his professionalism, his attention to details yep. to the point where you're no longer a 2-touchdown-a-year or 3-touchdown-a-year right. guy. If you're, you know, running the route every single time,
you're getting double digits for it.
Maybe you're an 8- or 9-touchdown-a-year yeah. guy. Yeah. We want to raise your level. Yeah. If your potential is up here, but your production is here, yeah. we want to close that gap
a little bit.
Absolutely. Let me ask this.
There's no question. You know, it's funny with Jarvis. It's funny you bring up Jarvis because I think with this football team, I don't want to say love-hate. Love-hate is a little too strong for talking to Jarvis, but you love everything. You love all his energy and everything. But you're right. If he wants to be the best receiver he can be, there are little details that need to be cleaned up.
Sure.
There are a lot of little things that he needs to do to get better. He's been getting by just on his, you know, sheer attitude that I'm just going to get the job done no matter what. I'm going to break a tackle and score a touchdown. I'm going to do these things. But if you can close the gap of those other little the nuances, the little things, the details to make him better. And that's so having said that, do you think those things, those little improvements, will have something to do with when he signs a contract?
Well, it has everything to do with why it's not done yet. I think that the Dolphins wanted to see him really get into the idea of, you know, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And understand that, hey, you got to do some things to show us more.
Right.
It's not just about, you know, the 280 catches. Yeah. You've got to step it up a little bit more.
But it's a pretty good situation to be in here where you're saying to a guy, hey, look, we want to pay you. We want you to be here in the long term. We want to pay you. You're our guy. But in order for us to pay you, you've got to cross this line a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to meet us halfway. You got to start getting to where we want to be. And you know, it's And certainly from a player standpoint, where you've got a contract that's hanging out there, well, if that's not motivation enough for you, then I don't know what is in this league.
Jarvis is fascinating to me because they want him to do all those things and pay attention to all those details and do all that. But you have to walk the fine line of Jarvis.
You got to let him be himself.
Yeah. He is also the heartbeat, oftentimes, of the team, many times, usually, of the offense. Yep. As he goes, they go. Yep. And you don't want to, you know, tone that down, dial that back. No. You don't want to sap any emotion from that. Because you want to play with a little anger. You want to play with a little passion and a chip on the shoulder. And Jarvis got a little chip on his shoulder now.
No question. And I think guys in that huddle, they feed off of it.
Yeah.
And I also think this, from watching Devontae from the beginning of the season last year to the end of the season last year, where towards the end of the season, I see a guy that's catching the ball and putting his shoulder down trying to run through somebody. And a lot of the things he did, a lot of the things that he did improvement-wise from the start of the season to the end, to me, had a lot to do with Jarvis. Because he and Jarvis, they're tight. They spent a lot of time together. And I think Jarvis has kind of mentored him along a little bit and helped him improve along the way. But having said that, Jarvis, you know, he's got that gap that he's got to close too.
Sure. The guy that gets past this conversation is kind of Kenny Stills.
Yep.
Because I call him the favored son.
Yeah. Well.
Because obviously him and Adam Gase have found a kinship there. Yep. And I think it's great. I think it's great that Kenny Stills got a contract, and now wants to do more.
Yes.
He doesn't feel
entitled.
Instead
of saying, hey, look, well, that's the sticky point about free agency. You know, you can't get into a guy's mind. You can't get into his heart and see what's going on there. And look, we saw who was a kid. And, you know, I go back to the first time it really struck me was a kid they got from was it Wilford, the receiver from Jacksonville?
Ernest Wilford.
And Ernest, when he came down here and signed his contract, his agent brought him to my house, right?
Okay.
And so I'm sitting in my house. I get a knock on the door. I go, and there's his agent, and there's Ernest. And I'm like, we went to want to talk. I'm like thinking, well, this has never happened to me before. Why would and you know what he wanted to talk about? Best place to play golf down here, Ernest. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa.
Okay.
You just signed the contract. You just got a new big, you know, and he was young enough to where he could do it again, right? Get another contract. And all you care about golf, I said, this is a bad mistake right here. And here was a guy that you know, you saw, and I'm not picking on him particularly, but there are guys that you put a lot of money in their pocket and their gear shift goes to neutral, right? I'll work out tomorrow. I'm not going to work out today. And they just don't, they lose that fire. You don't see that with these guys right now, the Andre Branches, the Kenny Stills, the Kiko Alonzos, you know, the guys they've given, the free agents they've had that they've rewarded with contracts. Those guys are, I think all those guys I mentioned are in that boat that says, hey, all right, now what can I do to get better?
Right. One thing I've noticed about this team is you kind of want to find, you know, interesting offseason stories. Mm-hmm. And so I've asked guys, what are you going to do in the offseason? You know, what are you going to do now that, you know, mini camp is over almost and you've got five and a half weeks before training camp and you want to hear, I'm going to go to, you know, Aruba or I'm going to go to Paris. I'm going to go on a mission to, you know, Belgrade or something like that. What I get a lot is, well, I've got to train.
Right. Yeah.
I've got to make sure I eat right. I've got to make sure that I, you know, do all these things. Yep. And Ndamukong Suh, for example, another guy who got a big contract, he's going to take his vacation coming up starting Friday.
Right.
And his vacation is going to last on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And then he's back to work Monday.
And that's the end of the vacation. Yeah. Yeah. And then he said today that, and then after that, 5 weeks of hell.
Right.
Because he's going to be ready to come to training camp.
Yep.
In July, in South Florida, and not feel worse for wear after, you know, a practice out here.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty impressive.
It was pretty impressive. And, look, and you know, and a lot of these things permeate that locker room. You know, a guy like that who's saying, hey, I'm gonna take 3 days and then I'm going back to work. I mean, that gets around the locker room. You say, well, if that's what it takes to be there, Well, you know, I got to do something like that too. So it's good stuff. We say we take some questions from these guys out here. Great to be back with you guys. I know that. At DFIN69, do you think it's right that the NFL owners have colluded together to blackball Colin Kaepernick? Well, you know, there's always a the conspiracy theories out there. It never ceases to amaze me, the conspiracy theories out there. But you know, whatever you want to call it, colluded, whatever you want to call it, Colin Kaepernick's a guy out there. And I was out in the Bay Area for a week, and it's funny because all my friends out there are 49er fans. So I've had this a conversation with them about Colin Kaepernick because they'd see him on a weekly basis. I don't know how the guy goes from taking a football team to a Super Bowl to NFC championships to all of a sudden he can't play in this league. I have a hard time understanding that.
Well, I don't know the specifics of what, you know, led to the lack of productivity from Colin Kaepernick. Let's call it that. Yes, because obviously he was at a point when they played in the Super Bowl.
Looked pretty damn good last year when he played here at Hard Rock.
Yeah, he did. Lost that game.
Yes.
No,
I'm with you.
Hey.
I'm with you.
The quarterback is measured by what?
Wins and losses.
Okay, and what was the San Francisco 49ers record? That matters. At the point, look, I don't buy this collusion argument because I don't believe that NFL owners sat in a room and decided we're not going to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Hey, emails to everybody.
Yes.
Hey, you know,
let's all agree on this. By the way, they don't agree on anything.
No.
Moreover, the Seattle Seahawks brought Colin Kaepernick in.
Yeah.
That is a forward-thinking, progressive kind of organization, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Pete Carroll isn't exactly all a flutter about anything that's going on in that locker room. Yeah. And ownership, you know, they don't worry about...
Yeah. Whatever you want.
And they decided to go a different direction than Colin Kaepernick. So... At some point, there is something about Colin Kaepernick.
Teams
that are looking for a quarterback that is not a starter. First of all, you got to change your entire system to fit Colin Kaepernick.
That's a big problem.
Yes,
that's a big problem. Unless you're running that type of offense, a spread offense where you're still running those options, the counter options, all the different things that the read options, all those different things that he did. If you don't run that, there's no use having him as your second or even third quarterback.
By the way, defensive coordinators, they've kind of caught up to that.
Yes, but you add to that the fact that, and I think more and more and more, every team in this league is so concerned. The line between winning and losing in this league now is so finite that, I don't want even the little distraction, I don't want. And the distraction that comes with Colin Kaepernick, I think, is the biggest reason the teams are just saying, hey, look, it's not worth it. We don't, he doesn't fit into our system. If our starter goes down, he's our backup. We're in bad shape because we can't change our whole offense for this guy. That's one. And two, the first, no matter what team he shows up to on day one, it's all going to be about what went on last year and all that stuff. And there goes the conversation. And you know how it is when guys get on that, when reporters get on that, it's hard to get that off their notepad.
Again, I never got a question about why did NFL teams collude to keep Jay Cutler out of the league?
Yeah.
Why did NFL teams collude to keep Tim Tebow out of NFL teams? And you can argue that Kaepernick is more accomplished than those two guys. Yeah. Whatever. I just don't hear that argument about certain guys.
Yeah.
But Colin Kaepernick is not on a team. It's collusion.
Yeah.
Come on.
At Kaleska, hey, guys, does Cam Wake mentor the younger guys? I think Cam Wake's a great mentor for these guys. I think David Harris, I think he's going to spend a lot of time with him, all these guys. I think that, Charles Harris.
Davis Harris, too. David Harris.
I think Cam is... You know, Cam got mentored by JT when he came in.
Yep.
You know, and I've spoken to Cam, and he doesn't forget that.
Right.
And he believed that's kind of his, that's part of his role is to help the young guys. And I think everybody across the board will help the young guys. It's one of the oddities of the NFL where the guy that's trying to take your job, you'll turn around and help him be better at what he's doing. Because if he's better, he's going to help the team be better.
Okay, so I don't know personnel well enough, and I don't know football well enough to know if a guy out here in shorts with no pads on and no contact going on and he's playing defensive end, if he's going to be good or not.
No.
But I do know if he's thinking. I do know if he wants it. And I do know if he's taking every opportunity to get better.
Right.
And on all those, Charles Harris checks the box.
Yep. Absolutely.
I wrote on Sunday or Monday about how he met Jason Taylor. And within 30 seconds of meeting Jason Taylor told me that Charles Harris asked him to work out with him and to watch film with him.
Right.
And so I asked Jason Taylor, how many other Dolphins rookies have done that?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
I remember a Dolphins first round, you know, defensive end rookie a couple of years ago that was being compared to Jason Taylor. Did he ever ask Jason Taylor for help? No.
By the way, you see he had knee surgery again?
Yeah.
Without them knowing it? Well, what is with this guy, huh? Hey, we just say you mean while we were talking about this contract, you didn't think at some point you should have brought
you
up.
You mentioned
it? You know, I had knee surgery 3 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah, hasn't been on the field.
Anyway, A.R. Donia is 94. Bo, welcome back. What do you think of going more high tempo on offense? Well, I think Coach Gase would like to do an up tempo offense, but I think it's going to depend on. I think he came in last year wanting to kind of up tempo a little bit, and then when he figured out, hey, we're going to be a running football team that's going to go off of that, then you backed off. I would think his thoughts would be the same as it was last year after seeing Jay Ajayi start being the guy that you felt can be a good runner for you. I don't think he's going to do a no huddle high. Everybody's trying to speed up the pace a little bit, but they're trying to speed up the pace from getting in the huddle to getting out of the huddle, not necessarily snapping the ball on a quicker time.
I agree with you. It's in his DNA to want to do that.
Yes, yes.
But it's also in his DNA to try to win.
Yeah.
And try to win is not necessarily going to be about, you know, you're not huddling.
Winning is not about him doing what he wants to do.
Exactly.
It's doing what's right for the team to get you to the point where you can. And look, last year was a great example. Everybody expected this to be, under Adam Gase, to be a throw the ball all around the yard offense, right? And I think that's the way they started. But he was smart enough to see, hey, that's not working. But this running game, whoa, now we got something here. Let's make a little shift over to that. Go that way. We'll continue to do our passing game, but now this is everything's going to come off of this, and I don't think he's going to go away from that this year.
Absolutely, not unless of course you know Ryan Tannehill is.
Ryan starts lighting it up, and you know it's funny. I was out on the West Coast for a week, and I didn't realize I was traveling. I was wearing a Dolphin hat, but the DCC, the bike ride hat. You know, it had the Dolphin logo on it, and I was in Long Beach yesterday making a connection on a plane. I go to grab something to eat, and the guy goes, hey, what do you think the Dolphins are going to do this year? Hey, how's Tannehill? And then same thing when I was up in the Bay Area. I mean, it's funny how many people when you travel around the country, you don't need – I got on the flight to go from here to Seattle, and the guy got on the plane, and the guy's got Dolphin pin on, Dolphin tie on, and I see him pull his bag out, and he's got a Dolphin there with a flight attendant. I mean, it's coincidental, maybe.
No, there are national teams in the NFL. The Cowboys are one. The Giants are one. The Oakland Raiders
49ers.
The 49ers, the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Did I mention New England?
We try to stay away from that.
Yeah.
El Chapo Jr. wants to know, hey, Bo, what happened with the bees today? I guess we're just a swarm of bees running, flying around there. And I saw the picture. I thought it was a hive, but they said they all just...
Yeah, Baumhauer, Betters, Bo Camper, Blackwoods.
That's right.
No, it was...
Charlie Bowser.
You know what was great? So they have those bees out there, and at one point, Adam Gase calls a play, a pass play that asks Devontae Parker to run down the sideline and, you know, against the corner of Xavier Howard and through the bees. And he did it.
Yeah.
And it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Gase was asked about it afterward, and he said, well, you know, I don't want my guys to get stung by bees, but I want to score a touchdown. I like that.
That little swarming defense. You're getting used to swarming defenses, I guess. Ace 92985, looking forward to see Fasano get out there and block for J-Train. It's funny the dynamic that they've got now. They got the pass-receiving tight end that Julius Thomas, he ain't going to block anybody. Not that he can if he wanted, but they're not going to ask him to block.
Okay.
And then you got Fasano. So you got the two-headed monster at tight end.
Yep.
On a football team that, quite frankly, likes to run a lot of three tight during the course of the season. Last year, they had to do it with Sam Young when they had injuries. They'd bring him in as the third tight end in those situations. So I'm pretty happy with the way the tight end position is now. You got Marquise Gray. You got Julius Thomas. You got Fasano. Whether Duarte or whoever else is out there, tight ends are out there, that if they can make a roster, feel pretty good. I think it's an upgrade. I hate to see Deion Sims. I thought Deion Sims was a guy that was was making some good headway, but I think they're in a pretty good position at that spot.
So I love tight ends.
Yeah.
I think they're the position can destroy a defense because they're a matchup problem.
Yes.
I mean, look what the Patriots did a couple of years ago with, the two tight ends.
Yeah.
Okay. So Fasano, in my opinion, is a better blocker than Deion Sims.
Yeah.
I was not a big Deion Sims fan because it was always, he's coming. He's going to do this.
Right.
And he never gets there. And not for $6 million.
Yeah.
Sorry. Enjoy Chicago. Julius Thomas is going to be a guy that affects the passing game and the running game. Because now he's outside, and that means that the defender that last year was in the box to stop Jay Ajayi is now outside.
Out,
that's one less guy that Jay Ajayi now has to beat in the box. So even if you don't throw him the ball, he's already helped your offense.
Yep.
Just by being there, standing.
Well, his ability, the ability to have a tight end, you can line up as a wide out, you can line up in the slot, you can line up as a tight end, you can do all those things, and you can do a lot of those things out of a base formation and go from a base formation to a spread offense with the same personnel in there that puts pressure on the defense. So I think I'm very happy with the defense or the tight end position now. Dolphin 73, with so many fans still so anti-Tannehill, can you guys speak to why he's our franchise quarterback? Well, he's your franchise quarterback because he's the best quarterback you got on the team. I mean, is he going to be the guy that's going to take this team to a Super Bowl and be a Tom Brady? I don't know that he's going to be a Tom Brady, but I certainly think with the weapons they've got around him, and this to me is probably the most telling year, I would think, for Ryan Tannehill, barring a big spate of injuries to the offense. But you got a nice little crew of running backs back there, three different guys that can do different things. You got a very good receiving core that works well together. You've answered the tight end question. The offensive line, certainly Mike Pouncey is a big question there. But he's got all the weapons now to be the best quarterback he can be. How much better will he be, if he'll be better, than what we've seen so far throughout his career?
There's no excuses.
There's none now.
Right? And not only that, but he's got the head coach that's
nurturing him, is behind
back.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
Yep.
Isn't thinking of drafting David Carr.
Yeah.
And
he's not sitting there, how can I tighten this guy up and not have him let? He wants to give him more.
Exactly.
He wants to take, here, let's give you more. The more you can do, the more I want to give you.
And don't you dare look at him sideways
because
I'm in his corner.
Yeah.
And so that's great. This is my small worry.
Yeah.
So the last time that Ryan Tannehill was in the second year of an offense was it after he did pretty well in Bill Lazor's first year. And then in the second year, he took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Inexplicably. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is the second year of this offense.
Yeah.
Let's see, man. Prove it to me.
Yeah. No,
don't tell me that things are faster.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that things are going to be better because you've told me that before.
Yeah.
Show me.
We've seen the Ryan Tannehill ride like this. Now it's time for the ride to go this way.
Yeah. Sure.
The dips have to end. And look, even if you get to a point and you plateau and the thing for Ryan, to me, he doesn't need to be Tom Brady, but he needs to be a guy that's in that, 10 to 12, somewhere around there. I think you'd like to see him be better. You'd like to see him as a Pro Bowl quarterback. But
sure.
If he can get in that top third.
Can you beat Joe Flacco?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because we've been having a hard time beating Joe Flacco for a long time. Jetta 1096. I feel this team will be exciting like some of the teams Bo was on. I think this team's going to be exciting. I think they've got a lot of good athletes. I think they got speed on offense. They got some speed on defense. But defensively, they've got to be, you know, to me, I think the key word on the defensive side of the football is discipline. You know, if you got a job to do your job, don't try to do more than your job. Do your job. And you know, because to me, that's where their biggest breakdowns were, when guys tried to make plays, tried to, you know, kind of just do their own thing and create running lanes or passing lanes for people. And that's part of the problem. So I think for them, but.
Their linebacker core is better.
Well, yeah, but you go out and you get a Lawrence Timmons. You go out and get Raekwon McMillan. You bring guys in to try to solidify that. You know, Koemisi. I mean, Koemisi to me is a wild card. I mean, if and when he gets on the practice field, if he can hold up. But if that's if you know.
Yeah.
But you know, so.
Okay.
You don't think the linebackers have gotten better since last year?
No, the linebacker core is better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, last year, at the end of last year, particularly.
Well, you remember this. You remember going into training camp last year with big questions on the defensive side of the football team. Linebackers are going to how are the linebackers going to even be, you know, successful to any degree? And my God, it's a disaster in the cornerback in the secondary. Now you got now you look at the secondary. You got a load. You're loaded at the safety position. You're loaded at the cornerbacks, and I'm talking about numbers. You know, okay. You got some good players there, but to me, a number, give me as many cornerbacks as you can find. You know, the ones that fall through the sieve, let them go, throw your best guys out there. You got to be better than you were. Certainly, we're in a better situation this year, going into this year, on those two positions than we were even close to last season.
Agreed. You know, and by the way, I was wrong on Ronnie Lippitt. Excuse me, Tony Lippitt.
Tony Lippitt, yeah.
Because wow. I saw preseason last year. Yep. And he couldn't cover anybody. And then, you know, he really worked hard to be a serviceable NFL cornerback and at times a very good NFL cornerback.
He got exposed
at Pittsburgh.
You've been around this team for a long time. Have you seen as many guys improve during the course of a season like we saw last year? I think Lippitt was a guy. I think Byron Maxwell was a guy.
Yes.
You can kind of go along the line and look at
Jay Ajayi.
Neville Hewitt, you know, Michael. Guys that, you know, they were forced into playing because of injuries or whatever. And instead of just going there and being that guy that was, you know, barely hanging on to a roster spot, somehow they found a way to get better during the course of the year. To me, it's a credit to the, you know, you talk about Adam Gase. To me, that is a credit to the assistant coaches and their work at getting these guys and ramping them up. As it's hard to get a guy to get better during the season because you don't have that much time to work with them. That's supposed to be done in training camp and in these OTAs and mini camps and stuff.
Well, you know what, Bo? One of the failings of this organization in the past has been player development.
Yep. Yeah.
In that the really good teams, they seem to get better as the season goes on.
Right.
Players get better. On this team in the past, players weren't playing their best football in December. Yeah. Last year, guess what? Players got developed.
Yeah.
They started playing better as the longer that they were here,
the better they played.
The better they played. It didn't go in the other direction where years prior they lost 3 out of 4 at the end of the season or 2 in a row with the playoffs on the line.
Yeah. No, I'm with it. I just you know, that to me, that again is something that makes me feel a little optimistic about this team, is that I just think they got a good staff of coaches that know how to coach these guys up. Sam Shivens, has Asiata improved since he recognized he was struggling early on? Well, Asiata, you know, he's kind of seemed, you know, good personality guy, says a lot of good things out there, but he's got to get better between now and the time training camp starts. And I know they weren't in pads, but you know, he's a little stand up tallish a little bit and gets kind of bent over a little, you know.
You know, again,
it's the reason he's a 5th round draft pick too.
True. Don't ask me questions about offensive
linemen right now
because I mean they're playing flag football.
No, I'm with you.
We'll see.
Take the pen, Armando, looking like the tiger or like a tiger. Or I think looking like Tiger.
As in
I
got, Woods?
I lost, I'm thinking about Tiger. I'm looking, I'm going, oh, shirt. I don't know. Look like
hopefully
as
not
soon
the,
as I said that and I saw that, I go, oh, now I get it.
Hopefully not like, the Tiger that we saw in like that last picture that was released of Tiger, right?
Stay away from the prescription drugs and you'll be all right. Joey Bag of Donuts. Hey, guys, do you think the one thing about both Coach Shula and Coach Gase have in common is their ability to adapt? Well, that's kind of one of the things. When people have asked that question now, a number of times in this program during the course of last year and during the offseason, hey, what do you see? What do you see in Coach Gase that you saw in Coach Shula? And it's really too premature to make any kind of a judgment on that. But I do think in a smaller window here, I think even that adjustment of being coming out, being a guy who wants to throw the ball, realizing, well, that's not our bread and butter. You know, this running game is what's going to make our offense go. And being able to make that shift during the season, to me, is a coach that does what a coach should do. Adapt to the personnel rather than try to force the personnel to adapt into your scheme if they don't fit.
We're going to put Dallas Thomas out there. Oh, it's not working? Okay, right. We're going to cut Dallas Thomas. We're going to bench Cameron Wake.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not working? Okay, we're going to start
right,
Cameron Wake.
Right.
They understand that not everything is going right.
Yep.
Let's change.
Yep.
Let's not stick with the same thing and bang our heads against
Sunday
the wall.
Every Sunday, go bang your head against the wall and come back and you ask the question. Don't you love this question? Well, you know, well, what happened out there today? How come you guys struggled against the run? Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to watch the tapes and then I'll tell you about it, right?
Or what are you going to do this
I know
week?
What happened.
Well, we're going to do what we're going to do, and no matter what we're going to do it, we're going to do it. No, dude, you got to figure something out.
I got you. Armando, thanks a lot, buddy. It's been
my
a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure having you on the program.
All right, bud.
Good stuff. You can always catch your stuff on the Miami Herald, MiamiHerald.com. Got all the good stuff about the Dolphins, so go ahead and check them out on there. Thanks for joining us in the program. We'll be back on, what's today, Wednesday? We'll be back on Friday. I just got back this morning, so I'm trying to get
jet lagged.
Yeah. We'll be back Friday. We'll see you then.